the cook in the lunchroom ready to sell. You're lucky if you can find a seat. You're fortunate if you have time to eat. Back in the classroom, open your books. Gee, but the teacher don't know how mean she looks. Soon as 3 o'clock rolls around, you finally lay your burden down. Close up your books, get out of your seat. Down the halls and into the street. Up to the corner and round the bend. Right to the juke joint you go in.
Oh yeah, do you remember school days and listening to Chuck Berry? I do. A long time ago. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for being with us on this Friday, August the 19th. Wow, moving along in the month. In a few minutes, we will be talking with Christian Watson from the Colorus United organization. He feels that the left's idea on diversity are... their ideas are only skin deep, and we're going to find out why he feels that way. So stay tuned, just a few minutes. And the magistrate that allowed the raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago home now says he's willing to open up the affidavit, at least a little bit. And here's the question, will that really make any difference at all? Are they going to really allow any info to get out? We are going to take a look. And... flash, bulletin, President Biden has decided to build a wall after all. And we are going to give you the details, so stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 longest running Broadway shows. Are you into Broadway? We'll find out how much you know. That'll be towards the end of our program, so stay tuned for that. By the way, don't forget to listen to Senior Voice America. They precede our program, thank goodness. In fact, they're on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here. Tim Bryce and company on the Town Talk Radio Network. Great show. So, the federal judge, I guess he's really a magistrate, but the judge in Florida who approved the warrant for the FBI to go into Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home says he's inclined to partially unseal the affidavit that prosecutors used to go in there. Well, maybe, what is he, having guilt feelings now? And how much of it will he really release, or does he know that this is a big game? And that whatever he decides to try and release, the Justice Department will appeal, and therefore will go on and on and on and on and on. And what happens when we go on and on and on? We're continuing to talk about the raid and continuing, frankly, to besmirch Donald Trump. And maybe that's the end game for some of these Democrats. Anyway, at a court hearing in West Palm Beach yesterday, Bruce Reinhart, the magistrate judge, ordered the Justice Department to file a redacted version of this affidavit by next Thursday. And he told prosecutors to be prepared to explain the rationale behind the redactions. Okay. Well, here we go. I mean, why don't they just slap the affidavit open? I mean, really, is there that much crucial, classified information? Really? That would somehow open up our country to attack? I don't think so. And it would be fairly easy if there was anything in there of that importance. I don't even know why they have to wait.
It's amazing. We're what, 2 weeks into this now? Just about 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And the biggest Monday. Discussion about this whole thing is not what possibly was found or not found, but the procedure of it.
Yeah.
It's like not arguing over how much money you have in the bank, but the color of your checkbook.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point.
I mean, I thought this was going to be like shock and awe.
Right.
Just like everything else.
If you've got the goods on somebody and they've really done something wrong, why aren't we entitled to know?
I mean,
I don't. It's unfair to the person that you are rating to say, well, in the interests of fairness, we can't tell you why we did. Well, yeah, but everybody on the block sees that you've come in with your FBI people and raided a person's house. What are they going to think of that person? Everybody on the street, if it happened to you, right? It's unfair to allow this to linger. That's what they're doing.
If these were normal prosecutors on the street, they'd be fired.
Multiple news organizations are asking for this affidavit to be opened, to be unsealed. Here's a lawyer representing the media groups. His name is Chuck Tobin. He said the public interest could not be greater. And I think that's true. He said the raid was one of the most significant events in the nation's history. Yeah, big time. It's on everybody's mind. You know, I'm going to be going to a bar tonight with some friends. I'll tell you right, guarantee you we'll be talking about this. Everybody will.
Every day that this goes on.
Before I get inebriated.
Yeah. Of course. And then after, too.
And after.
Every day.
But not during. I got a drink during.
Every day that this goes on without some sort of evidence or whatever, the chance for him, the chance for him to run are going to get louder.
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't know which way it's going. I mean, there are of course, the Trump haters are going, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, this is going to do him in now. He's not going to run.
Oh, did you see Stephen Colbert when they raided? His show started out with it may be hot outside, but this is certainly Christmas.
I did not see that.
Jerk.
Yep. I mean, it's on everybody's mind. So we'll see where it goes, but let's be honest. The redaction that are going to be coming in, they're going to be more black ink covering things up than black ink explaining things on the affidavit by the time they get through.
This thing's going to look like stereo instructions. You know how when you bought that first stereo and all these instructions, you know what the hell? What is all this? Just draw me a picture for crying
That's
out loud,
right.
You know?
Exactly. All right. In the meantime, other things, you know, should be on our mind are not on our mind as much. But listen to this. The U.S. government left behind more than $7 billion, that's with a B, $7 billion in military equipment in Afghanistan when they pulled out. Remember that? Leaving all of that stuff there, all those planes and all that equipment there? A Defense Department Inspector General report explained that the majority of the $7 billion left behind in the equipment consisted of tactical ground vehicles like Humvees and mine-resistant, they call them MRAPs. I guess it's some sort of vehicle. Yeah. I mean, talk about leaving technology behind.
I know, but in all fairness to the Biden administration, that equipment was damaged. I mean, some of the paint was chipped on the vehicle.
Yes, indeed, you're right. I forgot about that.
There was a little crack in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, we can't use that.
You can't use
those things anymore.
Leave them.
Yeah, it's garbage. The Afghan military possessed a ground vehicle inventory worth about $4 billion during the falling of Kabul. And in addition, the military lost $900 million worth of military aircraft and $300 million worth of aircraft munitions. Ha! We don't need it. Let's just get out of here. Oh, boy. We couldn't have done it worse. We couldn't have left there in a more... I mean, talk about leaving with your tail between your legs. We didn't even have a tail left when we left.
I just hope they have the decency to paint over our, you know...
Take the flag and the seal. I know what you mean. Yeah, put their stuff on it.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe a thank you, Biden, underneath in script. Thank you, Biden.
We couldn't repo that stuff, huh?
You know, we should have.
Who actually has it? Is it the Taliban?
The tribal people that were there. Yeah, we left. Remember, the military pulled out first. Remember all the people hanging onto the plane?
We just
got the hell out of there as quickly as we could.
Looked like the border, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it was wild and crazy and sad. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Christian Watson of Colorist United And the ideas on diversity, maybe only being skin deep.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday on Freedom Works, and we are delighted to have Christian Watson join us. He is a spokesman for Color Us United. He's also a host of his own podcast. It's called Pensive Politics with Christian Watson. And he penned a piece appearing in the Washington Examiner the other day, The Left's Idea of Diversity is Only Skin Deep. Christian, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. You make a very interesting point, if I might quote from what you said in your article. You said President Biden has repeatedly says he wants to make his administration look like America. But his message, this message, is exactly what is wrong with the diversity, equity, and inclusion narrative. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. So, essentially, there's two parts to my argument. The first part is that the left has a very superficial idea of what it means to be diverse. The second part is they want the country, like they want certain institutions to look like America and reflect America. And that's really an impossible feat. I think that should be in the first part first. So the left thinks that you can apply values to arbitrary or immutable characteristics, such as skin color, sex, sexuality, things of that sort. But the problem is none of us chose those things. So it would be a little bit silly to try to assign values, which we definitely do choose and we do follow in life, to things that are not fitted for values at all. They just don't, like oil and water, they don't mix at all. It's like having an eye color. What values do you have having a certain eye color? You have none. It makes no sense. But then, to go ahead, take a step further and say we should then apply this to all of America's institutions to increase equity is even more silly. What does it mean for us to look like America? Well, if you go to different parts of the country, it means different things. If you were to go to North Dakota, that looks very different than, let's say, Mississippi or South Florida. And America really is not an appearance. It is an idea. It is a principle. And so if you want the country to look like America, you ought to have people follow the principles of America, which are first and foremost individual freedom, which are first and foremost an acknowledgement of the world we live in being objective and ordered by a rational national order, and which are first and foremost rooted in the consent of government. That's how we can make our institutions like America, not by assigning arbitrary occurrences to them.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And a lot of these corporations and even government institutions, they're motivated by fear to do it. A perfect example is the latest Supreme Court justice. Biden said he was going to nominate a woman of color. It was going to be a woman. It was going to be a woman of color. And that took away everybody else. So it wasn't a matter of finding the best person. To heck with that. The one that, you know, could do the job the best. They didn't even try to hide the fact that it was strictly going to be based on the color of somebody's skin and their sexuality.
Yeah. And, I don't want to take anything away from Judge Jackson. I personally have serious philosophical disagreements with her. on many issues.
Mm-hmm.
But she's obviously a very intelligent woman.
I'm sure she is, but you see, it works against her now that because of the way they looked at it. But go ahead. Mm-hmm.
You're right. It does, and it reflects a bigger problem. Once again, they're trying to assign values to a quality where values don't fit. Like it would be like trying to put water in a gas tank. It doesn't make any sense. Water can't go into a gas tank. That's not its function. The function of these characteristics that we have is not to be value statements. They just are. They just exist. And I think that this is part of the reason why American society needs philosophy, because most of us really don't consider what does it mean to exist? What does it mean to, you know, be a person in this world? Most of us just take it for granted and then go ahead, which leaves open for manipulation for these kind of political tactics. But our founders, they contemplated all these questions. What does it mean to have the government? What does it mean to be just? What does it mean to be a human being? And then once they found the answers by going through Enlightenment philosophy and going all the way back to ancient Greek things of that sort, they put those answers in the form of governance. And they created the greatest government to ever exist in human history, the greatest tribute to human freedom and the necessity of being a human being. That's what we need to get back to if we want to counter this cultural narrative.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Christian Watson. He is a spokesman for Color Us United and the host of Pensive Politics with Christian Watson. And he has written a piece that has appeared in the Washington Examiner. The left's idea of diversity is only skin deep. So do you think, Christian, that we are getting back to the idea that we have to be color and gender blind when it comes to all of these things? I mean, I think everybody believes that deep down anyway, but do you think as a country we are moving back towards that?
Well, I think that a lot of people by default act as if they believe that, whether they actually do or not. Most people don't really give it much thought, which is both a good thing and a bad thing. Most people just, you know, if they have a black friend, a minority friend, or if they have, you know, marriage, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. What matters is what a person is like, and that's great. That's a wonderful thing. But the few people who do consider these things in depth, they either come to one of two conclusions. Possibly there's more, but there's the two that are prominent. One is that there are certain people, by virtue of their identity, who have been oppressed, who need the help of the government and activism to help them. Or there are character matters more than identity. And there are other people that come to other conclusions that are a little bit absurd, not really matter. The racist and that sort, they don't really matter. And so among those two conclusions, I think we have a very clear idea of where most people are, even if they don't profess it explicitly. You know, you don't need to know the abstract theory of a certain idea to be a good person. You don't need to know even the abstract theory of the Constitution to understand what freedom means. Every man who's had to go out and plow a field, for example, knows what freedom means. Any person who had to go out and work for something knows what freedom means. And so, in the same token, anyone who has ever interacted with someone and treated them with decency on the basis of who they were knows what it means to be colorblind.
Indeed. So there's this sense of wokeness in our school system right now. I mean, on the one hand, it does seem like parents are getting more involved in schools and coming to board meetings and the like, which I think is a very good thing. We tend to be very apathetic when it comes to those kinds of things, you know, overall. But yet we constantly read about these different programs that are being put into schools and grade schools in particular when kids are, you know, more impressionable, you might think. Do you have any thought on that? One way or the other?
Well, I think that the critical race theory discourse of 2021 unlocked a sleeping giant, if I might say so myself. A lot of parents who were not previously politically motivated or didn't care all of a sudden became angered and enraged, and they began getting involved more in their child's education if they were not already. And that's a wonderful, beautiful thing. But there's always been a double-edged sword to that. And this is a problem I've been raising for a while. The problem is this. If you get involved in a issue revolving around politics and principle, and you know where you stand on that one issue, but you don't have an overarching value system, you're going to let yourself be manipulated. So there are a lot of people who have walked away from the Democratic Party, which is wonderful, who have rejected independent leftism, which is wonderful, but who have substituted with their previous beliefs for uncritically examined positions that they just pick because they feel it's right, and they don't actually evaluate things. I think that a lot of people came out against critical race theory education. They were correct in doing that, but they didn't take the extra step to actually consider their overarching value system. So they just become, you know, they become handmaidens to whoever has the loudest microphone and whoever sounds the best to feed them along.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, if we want to sustain a value revolution, if you want to sustain a revolution of the mind like our founders had, you're going to have to put more work in. And I don't know if people are ready to do that yet.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're saying in a way is people have to think for themselves. You know, as a child, everybody tells us what to do, and that includes getting into school. The teachers tell us what to do. Our parents told us what to do. And we are guided and in a way, manipulated, hopefully in a positive way, but we're manipulated. At some point, we have to break away from the manipulation and stand on our own 2 feet, and hopefully our parents and our teachers prepare us for that. And then we can start thinking for ourselves. But I know when I went to college, I was still being manipulated. I was being manipulated by the teachers. Maybe at that point it should have been a little bit more of an individual, but we were still somewhat intimidated, you know? So, go ahead.
And nothing wrong with being led, nothing wrong with taking advice, and I believe that human beings are social animals, but you're right, you do have to ultimately come to your own conclusion. And to do that is to be afraid. That's actually a sign of courage. Because to come to your own conclusions and to stand on your principles and convictions and take darts and arrows for doing so, that's something that few people are willing to do in our modern world.
Indeed. Tell us a little bit, Christian, about Color Us United, the organization, if you would.
So Color Us United is a 501c3 nonprofit whose primary aim is to fight for colorblindness in American society. So what we do, we go into institutions around the country, and we challenge old policies on behalf of the employees who have been aggrieved by them. And we go into the media, and we start PR campaigns against those policies as well. We want to see a society where people are judging the content of their character, not the color of their skin, as MLK famously said. And we are fighting for that in every arena that we possibly can.
Oh, that's great. It really is.
If you want to find more information, you can go to colorusunited.org.
ColorUsUnited.org. And also, you've got a podcast. Tell us a little bit about, is it called Pensive Politics with Christian Watson?
Yeah, so it's a YouTube podcast that I do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. My project is essentially to bring a philosophical view into current events and social and cultural issues, because I want people to be able to defend America on the same level that our founders created America. And that's, you know, our current culture is based around outrage, based around red meat. People won't find any of that kind of stuff watching me, which automatically makes me unpopular, but it's a service. I need to do it. So you can find that on YouTube by typing in Pensive Politics.
Well, good for you. Good for you. It's been a pleasure talking with you, Christian. Thank you so very much for coming on.
No problem. Thank you so much.
All right. Christian Watson, Color Us United. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about President Biden. Did you know he's decided to build a wall after all? We're going to give you the details.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vacaris, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's the Buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Hey, you ever got hit by a pizza pie? I don't think I ever have. I think somebody did try to throw a slice of it at me one time. But I hate to waste food like that, especially if it's, you know, a good pizza.
Be an angry woman to hit you with a pizza pie.
I've had a lot of them. A
couple of pepperonis maybe, but that's it.
Yeah, I've had a lot of angry women. Yeah. That's true. Well, did you hear about this, Ed, that Joe Biden has decided to build a wall? After spending much of the summer vacationing on, is it Kiawah Island, South Carolina, President Biden heading back to his multi-million-dollar beach house in his home state of Delaware, where he's building a taxpayer-funded security wall at a cost about $500,000. Should we be excited about the security that he's building around his Delaware home? I guess we should. Yeah. He's expected to arrive at his $2.7 million summer home in the North Shore community of it's Rehoboth Beach tomorrow. After spending the last couple of nights in Wilmington, Delaware, let's see. So the Department of Homeland Security awarded $456,500 to a Sussex County company to construct a fence around his house. Wow! I would think if you spent $456,500, you'd have a pretty nice fence around your house, wouldn't you say?
I mean, why all of a sudden? I mean, has there been some threats, or, I mean, what's the deal?
Yeah, his relatives don't like him.
I mean, his number is that bad?
I think even his relatives are throwing rocks at the house. So if they can build this fence around it, maybe they can't, the rocks won't reach the house. I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, but isn't that crazy? He's yet to visit the border. Did you know that? You know that in the history of his being in politics, I'm not sure he ever visited the border.
Oh, they avoid it like the plague.
I mean, but can you think about that? A guy that was in politics as a senator all of those years, and it's all those years doing whatever he did, and he's never visited the southern border.
Well, they have that one. What's that one? Mayorkin? Or what is that his name?
Mayorkas?
Yeah.
The Homeland Security guy. Yeah.
He says everything's okay, so we're just going to take his word for it.
Oh, well, why didn't you tell me that? Mallorca says it's all right. It's all right.
Kamala did a flyover. He's fine.
Yeah. She ended up going to a place like about 200 miles away from the border.
Well, they had great tacos there.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, I mean, it's a joke, isn't it? I mean, if anything should outrage people, anything, I think it's the border and the way they just ignored it. And they've just, and, I mean, the function of the president is security. He's the commander-in-chief. That's his number one priority.
And we don't even see it on a daily basis.
No.
We, you know,
it's
so
too
much
depressing
you can,
if
so
you
much
do.
You can see on the TV. But, I mean,
Fox does a lot to
be there in person and see.
Oh, no, the media suppresses
it. I'm just trying to figure out, they're all getting lined up. And then where are they going? If the border is not open, then why are they lining up? Why are they just shooing them back over to the other side and say, get back over there? Don't lie. Why was there a need to line them up? Unless you're putting them on buses or planes and bring them into the country.
Yeah.
And
there's got to be a method to it.
We're
madness.
Ignorant to think that they're just Mexicans and Venezuelans and people like that. There are terrorists mixed in there. There are drug dealers mixed in that. There are sex traffickers mixed in that.
Yeah, and there's also all the diseases that we're not stopping. We worry about COVID, and we've got all of these people pouring
in. Let's not be ignorant and just think these poor Mexican people looking for work.
We had a way of trying to help those people, but we won't follow the way. We won't do it the right way. We refuse to do it the right way. For the life of me, I don't understand the Democrat. This is a no-win issue for Democrats.
You know, absolutely
no win.
I saw that video last week on Fox, and it could have been on CNN, and it could have been on anywhere. If they were showing the buses pulling in to New York City, and the people getting off there, and the people that are standing at the door cheering them and holding out $20 bills.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
I mean, what the heck is going on?
Yeah. I don't know.
You're in New York City. I bet you
usually they're going to steal 20 from you.
Yeah, I know. I bet you can't walk very far and find a family that can't feed themselves. An American family that cannot feed their kids, for crying out loud. You're giving this money to people that are dressed very nicely.
Oh, yeah. They got their iPhones.
And they didn't even take it.
Yeah.
They didn't even take it.
No.
They're good.
They've got enough.
They've got money on them. They've all got phones.
Yeah, they do.
Like I said, they're all dressed very nicely.
They are. It doesn't look like they're homeless people. You know what I mean?
No,
it's not like they're a ragtag group that's coming across. I don't know. Maybe they got the outfits as they crossed the border, but whatever.
You know, where Russia's bombing over there,
Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. They've got to be saying you got to be kidding me.
I know.
You want to see what destitute looks like? Do you want to see what refugees look like? Hello.
Yeah. By the way, speaking about that, you don't see anybody knocking down the door to get into Russia, do you? You don't see anybody Why is it that everybody wants to come to America, right? From around the world. Well, it's because we've had the best system in the world for long, long time.
That's can you leave Russia?
Well, if you're Rita Greiner, you can't right now. But I think you're allowed to.
I mean,
leave.
You're just an ordinary Russian citizen. You said, I've had enough of this joint. Let's get out of here.
I think I'm going to Poland for a weekend. Yeah, that's a very good question. They probably make it difficult. Hey, by the way, speaking of that, did you see that Putin is encouraging women to have up to 10 children each? Have you seen that? And they will get special recognition if they do. In other words, they're trying to increase the population.
It's probably a bonus if they're boys.
Probably. But I'm not kidding about that.
Rebuild the army.
I'm not kidding, though. He has put some sort... You win some sort of achievement if you, as a woman, have 10 children?
You get only...
What?
You get day-old bread, not two-day-old bread.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
He's been quiet lately, hasn't he, Putin?
Well, we haven't been focusing on the Ukraine because we got all these things going on here. I think it's more the way where is our focus? Don't you?
I guess we're just...
You know what I mean?
We're diverted.
The war over there has become almost like second nature. It's like kind of like when the Vietnam War was going on. After a while, it was no longer on the front pages every day.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it was there, but it was going on for so long that... Anyway... Want to talk a little bit about Mitch McConnell. This, for Republicans, is a little bit of a scary scenario. Mitch McConnell, he's the Senate Minority Leader and a Republican from Kentucky, has expressed concern about Republicans' ability to take back the Senate this coming November, as the polls show that GOP candidates are trailing Democrats in some very key races. He says this, quote, "I think there's probably a greater likelihood the House flips than the Senate." Now, that's Mitch McConnell saying that. Don't you think he should be a little more positive about it?
You know,
or is he trying to warn Republicans that you're just taking things a little bit for granted?
I think we've had enough of Mitch McConnell, to tell you the truth.
You're tired of him.
Some of these guys are just come on.
He's been there forever.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. I was thinking about that, too. Here's what I'm thinking. He's been treated like sort of like a god in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
right? But is he really doing what he should do as Senate Majority Leader? I mean, you would think that he would somehow come out with his fellow Republicans in the Senate with a clearer, more unifying message these days that Republicans can use to run on when they go back home for the November elections. I'm not sure he's doing very much right now.
I think you're going to see an age drop in this election coming up. Mm-hmm. Even in our own big district here, the 13.
District 13.
I mean, look at the, you know, Anupama Luna and Amanda Mackey, even Kevin Hazlett.
Yeah, they're all younger people.
Mm-hmm. They're under 90.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, well, how old is Charlie Crist? He's vacating to run for governor. He's got to be, is he about 60-something, do you think? Anyway, he's leaving, and we will have younger blood one way or the other in our local.
Well, he's running for governor.
That's right. I know he's running.
And speaking of governor, Nikki Fried, or as Andrew the Master Barber says, Nikki Refried Bean.
Refried Bean.
her campaign has got to be so... Her ad is so out of touch. I mean, it's just... The first time I saw it, I said, really? Because it ends with...
I've not seen anything on
it,
her.
It ends with, vote for me, and you'll finally have a governor you can be proud of. I don't know where she's been living for the last 2 years. But it's certainly not in Florida, because we're good there, you know.
Well, not only that, I mean, what? That's nothingness. I mean, you'll finally have a governor you can be proud of.
Well, she attacks Charlie Crist. That's easy. I mean, you know, a school kid could do that because he flip-flopped so many times.
Charlie Crist, because right, those because are the two that are right.
Right, and then she says, "Ben, I'll be the best one to go after DeSantis." And then when I defeat him, you'll finally get a governor you can be proud of.
I said,
you got to be kidding me.
Well, your favorite newspaper, the Tampa Bay Times, has endorsed Charlie Crist over.
Of course. I mean, they let him. He's got his own column in there every other day, for crying out loud.
I know. Yeah, that's true too.
And if they're not bashing Trump with the cartoons. They're bashing DeSantis.
Oh God, yeah. Oh yeah. Speaking of DeSantis, do I have that story on here? Yes, I want to. We got another minute here before we take a break. I think I will talk about this one. Did you hear that Ron DeSantis? He's got a new press secretary, by the way, and the guy's name is Brian Griffin, and he went after ABC News. The other day, detailing how ABC News fawns over legislation by Biden when they report it. And they are down on DeSantis on any bill signing that he does. And the guy, he made that specific example. Now, I don't know if this is like being a little bit super sensitive, and should DeSantis not even bring this thing up? Because we all know how liberal all of the major networks are. Mm. But he says this, quote, Governor DeSantis has empowered our team to hold media accountable for inaccurate and disproportionately critical coverage and will continue to do so under his leadership. And then in a thread titled A Tale of Two Bill Signings with Mainstream Media Coverage, this guy Griffin examines ABC and the way they presented Biden's Inflation Reduction Act with glowing headlines and saying things like, Biden signs sweeping health, climate, and tax bill, a major win for his domestic agenda. White House plans to celebrate the political victory again next month. And then you compare that to a bill that that Governor DeSantis signed. Remember the Walt Disney parental rights, the bill, the parental rights and education bill? They went, their headline, Florida governor signs controversial don't say gay bill into law. And the subhead says, bill bans lessons on sexual orientation or gender identity in some grades. Well, in grades 1 through 3, but you don't say that here. No. You make it sound like he's banning talk about sex at all.
We're telling seniors not to talk about sex. Yes.
I mean, we all know. We all know you're not going to get a fair deal for Republicans in the mainstream media.
No.
So I don't know how important it is. But it's interesting that, isn't it, that DeSantis' press secretary is focusing on things like that?
I have not watched network news since probably 6 months after Trump was in office.
Mm-hmm.
I just got tired of it.
Yeah.
And I was a hardcore ABC News fan.
Were you?
I was from the start. I thought Peter Jennings was one of the best anchors mm-hmm. ever.
He was good.
I think David Muir, who's there now, does a hell of a job.
Mm-hmm.
But the producers behind the scenes and what they're feeding him is crap.
Yeah.
It's not news, it's opinions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've crossed the line a long time. I remember Walter Cronkite. I used to think the guy was a conservative. It turned out he was liberal, but you never could tell because he never showed his cards when he did news stories, you know. And he came out of World War II. He was a correspondent for CBS, I think it was for CBS, during the war, World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So he came out, you know, his credentials and the way, and he became, of course, the kind of like the godfather of news broadcasters. But you never knew that he might... one way or the other.
Yeah, and
was to his credit.
And with the network news, the late night bubble heads followed after Carson left and Leno left.
Yep.
It just became who could bash Trump the most.
Exactly. All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, we are going to give you the top 10 longest running Broadway shows.
Who will never settle down? Where pretty girls are, well, you know that I'm around. I kiss them and I love them, cause to me they're all the same. I hug them and I squeeze them, they don't even know my name. They call me the Wanderer.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you for joining us. It is a Friday. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the wonderful Tantalk Radio Network. And we thank you when you can find time to listen to us, no matter where you are. But if you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us on whatever you want to call it. I call it podcast. I guess technically it's on tape.
No, it's a podcast.
It is a podcast.
You can download it or you can listen to it.
Perfect. And Ed sets it up very easily for you. All you have to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on podcast, top of the page. And there you go. All the shows that we have done recently, and they go in chronological order from most recent all the way back. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see the top 10, the whole bit, thanks to Ed. Bless his heart. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay. Well, before we get to our top 10, there's a couple of education stories, I guess you might say, that I wanted to talk about. First of all, at Yale University. And... This is a Yale professor who is drawing some outrageous criticism on social media over a video in which she explains that she is part of a university program, get this, Ed, that helps children as young as three years old with their gender journey. Did you know that you need to start your gender journey when you're just out of diapers? She says, I am the director of the Yale Gender Program, which is an interdisciplinary program working with gender-expansive individuals ages 3 to 25 and their families. Aha! So she has this video circulating about it. She adds, her name, by the way, is, if you want to know, Christy Olazeski. She adds that the program provides gender guidance on medical intervention and when to begin that process. So there you go. It was posted on Yale Medicine's YouTube channel, but fortunately it's been removed. So that's one.
Good old days when the biggest problem you had was Lucky Charms or Fruit Loops.
I know.
You know?
I know. It's unbelievable. Now we go to Virginia. The Virginia Board of Education has delayed public hearings on new draft history standards, which proponents say will offer a fuller and fairer picture of America's past. Here's the deal. In Virginia, you have to update your standards every 7 years, and that includes in history and in social studies. And this revision began under, remember Ralph Nordstrom, the governor of Virginia? He's the guy that dressed up in blackface.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Okay. So they are, they are updating, and you do need to update things. That makes sense. And indeed, there was a time when perhaps we did not pay enough attention in our history to the plight of African Americans in our country.
Sure.
It was given short shrift. But everybody knew about the Civil War, and everybody knew, when I was growing up, we knew about slavery. We knew about the North versus the South. We knew that slavery was wrong. We knew that the founding fathers, some of them had slaves. We knew that their intention was to eventually make it free for everybody, but that they were in a period in their era where it was still going on. But that didn't mean to say that they didn't realize what they were doing, you know?
Right.
So anyway, they're upgrading the standards there, but a lot of people, including parents, are worried about how much of an upgrade. Here's one of them. This is a parent that says, as a parent, I'm shocked by the nonsense of even a thought of the removal of the nomenclature George Washington, the father of our country, or James Madison, the father of our Constitution. In other words, apparently they are thinking of getting rid of some of those titles when they are describing these people to the kids. Well, you got to be careful about that, because
mm-hmm.
they are considered,
sure.
you know, the father of our country and the father of the Constitution. So she said that schools should be more concerned about improving literacy rates across the state of Virginia. She's exactly right. That's the thing we got to get back to.
Mm.
I would be outraged about graduating kids that can barely write their name or recite the alphabet or write a letter.
We're not writing cursive.
You know, actually, you're right to some extent. You know, a personal note that you might write. They can't do it anymore. They don't know how to write in cursive. You're right. They don't. Now we're all on tablet. No, they can't. They can't read the Declaration of Independence, by the way, can they? Think about it. They couldn't. Okay. Anyway, before we get to our top 10, Ed, here we're going on, and I'm dropping my papers on the floor here. I want to ask you about what is going on. Are we playing any Tampa Bay Buccaneers football this weekend?
Yeah, don't look for any starters to play. Tom Brady's still out until Monday with his personal reasons, whatever they may or may not be.
Who are we playing?
Actually, the Bucs are in Tennessee this week having joint practices with the Titans.
Okay.
And they'll play them on Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
Okay. You going to watch that game?
I will.
Okay.
And the Rays are at home.
Are they?
They won last night. They took two out of three from the Yankees.
That's good.
They won last night. They have four games at home against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Royals.
The Kansas City Royals, yeah. Right. Okay, right. Sounds good. All right, time for our top 10. Ed, get over there on the drums. These are the top 10 longest-running Broadway shows. It comes from Wikipedia. You'll be surprised, I think, at some of these. I want to see, Ed, if you can guess what's number one.
Well, let me see. I'll tell you right now. I would never, ever sit through this thing. I don't do musicals.
Not be a musical, Ed.
Okay.
Yeah. You never know.
Too much singing.
Okay. Fair enough. Here's number 10. Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
All right. It went from April of 1994 to the end of July 2007.
Mm.
That's pretty good. 5,461 performances. Mm. Can you imagine wearing that lion's head throughout all of that?
Good, they don't need me to go.
Got it, all right. Number 9. Ever hear of the show Mamma Mia?
Yeah.
Okay. From October 2001 to September 2015, 5,758 performances. Number 8. This one goes back a while. Old Calcutta. You ever hear that one?
Oh, the song, Old Calcutta.
They got naked in it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It went from September 1976 to August 1989, 5,959 performances of standing around naked. Number 7, A Chorus Line. That's Bob Fosse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. July of 1975 to April of 1990, 6,137. Number 6, Les Miserables. March 1987 to May 2003. 6,680 performances. Number 5. Ever hear of Wicked? October 2003. It's still going.
Mm.
Okay. So far, 7,211 performances.
Mm.
Number 4. Cats. You remember Cats?
Sure, I've heard of it.
Okay. October of 82 to September of 2000, 7,485 performances. Number 3. The Lion King, a Walt Disney production, November 97. It's still going on. 9,675 performances. Number 2, Chicago, November of 1996. It's still going on. Can you believe that?
Mm.
10,058 performances. All right, Ed. Any idea, number 1?
I haven't got a clue.
No?
Yeah.
The Phantom of the Opera.
Mm.
Yeah. January 1988, listen to this, it's still going on. 13,701 performances. Amazing. All right, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Drive safely, and remember that freedom works.
When a fuse is just like ice, and there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you, you'll wind up like the wreck you hide.